Hi, I'm Chris Bedford, Dorothy Wagner Wallace, Director of the Baltimore Museum of Art, and welcome to Art Matters, a monthly feature where we provide insights into the work of some of today's most creative artists from Baltimore and beyond. Joining me today is Clifford Owens, a New York-based photographer and performance artist originally from Baltimore. Welcome, Clifford, and thank you.
Thank you for the invitation. I'm happy to be here.
I wanted to start with issues of performance in your work. So often, the work calls for a kind of radical interaction with audiences, and it's intended to create an intense vulnerability in that space. So could you tell us a little bit about this property of vulnerability, how you cultivate it, and what you aim to do with it in the context of your performance?
I think we should also mention here that many of the performances impart deep concern, caring, compassion. There is the other side, those sort of dense, intense moments in which the performance is asking the audience to be vulnerable. But in order for them to get to that place, I must necessarily first make myself vulnerable. And exposing the audience and their vulnerability is not for the purpose of exploitation, necessarily. But I would hope that in the performance, something transformational happens.
So the vulnerability presumably is intended to create a space of sort of honesty and sharing among two formally separate groups. Is that the intention?
And also radical listening.
So pivoting to a specific work, in our permanent collection reinstallation, the contemporary wing at the moment, we have a work on view called One for Ben Patterson, which references by name an earlier black performance artist. And this is something that interests me tremendously on sort of a macro level, because as you very well know, histories of black art have been historically unwritten or under-recognized. And so what I found in years of doing this kind of work is that artists will create their own conversations and their own histories, absent those in textbooks, often through objects that are committed to the memory of another artist or a conversation with another artist. So I'd love for you to talk a little bit about Ben Patterson and about that work in particular.
Yeah, I really appreciate the question. Ben Patterson, to me, is the preeminent figure of American black performance art. I mean, as you know, he, with George Marchunas, was a sort of major architect of Fluxus in Europe in the 1950s. This is a man from Pennsylvania, born in Pennsylvania in the 1930s, an American black man in the 1930s who leads a radical performance art avant-garde. It's kind of fascinating story, journey of an artist. And so that legacy certainly informed my decision to do a project called Anthology, which did precisely what you just mentioned. It created a history of performance art that had not previously existed. An anthology is comprised of scores written for me by an intergenerational group of American black artists, including Carol Walker, Glenn Ligon, the great William Pope Bell, my dear friend, now deceased, Terry Atkins, Marin Hassinger, a Baltimore-based artist for some years. So that piece was not just about Patterson's legacy, but kind of contained and condensed a legacy he shares with a number of American black visual performance artists.
This piece, One for Ben Patterson, is installed on a wall.
Yes.
With a work by David Hammons.
Yes.
So I would be curious just to hear from your perspective reflections on that man, his work as an artist, and his legacy and influences that live today.
Yeah, I mean, that's enormous. You know, David Hammons is a living history, you know, a living legend. For sure. And so when I considered how I would construct One for Ben Patterson, I mean, I think certainly Hammond's work was in consideration. He did those body prints, as you know,
right,
in the 70s. And while One for Ben Patterson is not a body print in the same spirit as Hammond's, certainly the use of the body is similar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no
and
question.
So for One for Ben Patterson, I took a score that Patterson wrote and performed in 1964 in New York City titled First Symphony, And I combine that with the title of a performance composition by Tristan Tzara titled Vaseline Symphony. And so I combine those two pieces to make the work. And to produce the image, I used Vaseline and ground coffee. And so created a kind of alchemical abstraction that uses those two components, the Vaseline to create a kind of latent image of the body, and the ground coffee used as an agent to expose the image. Some sort of photographic process here, of course, that I'm interested in given my background in the medium of photography. But certainly, you know, Hammond's has always been a kind of voice in my head since I first learned about his work in the late 1980s.
So since this is a radio show for Baltimore and you're originally from the city, I'm curious about the relationship of this place to your work, particularly your body-based work. How would you talk about or categorize that relationship?
Yeah, that's interesting. Several years ago, I was at a party hosted by the Astor Gates, and I attended with Terry Atkins and Kamal Patton after we did a Lone Wolf recital corps, I think at Northwestern. And at the party, I had a conversation with Hamza Walker, who is a great curator but also a Baltimore native. And he says to me in this conversation, "Once I realized that you were from Baltimore, I understood your work. Because if you are from Baltimore, you have to have a body."
That is fascinating. So what did that mean to you?
What it means to me is what it means to your first question in terms of vulnerability. In Baltimore City, if you inhabit the body that I inhabit, you have to be vulnerable. You have to have an awareness of your body in social space. You are self-censoring, but also highly aware of how you are being censored. To have a body in Baltimore means you know what death looks like. You know what drug addiction and abuse does to the body. You know early on what police brutality means. If you are from my locations in Baltimore City, you must have a body to survive.
Your work deals with the body. It deals with black presence, black consciousness, black erasure, radical presence, too. And I think that a lot of those commitments undergird what we've attempted to do with our contemporary wing reinstallation, which very deliberately puts black creativity at the center of everything the BMA is and is becoming. And that is inscribed in a sort of almost data-based way in the West Wing, where you see about 80% of the work on view being by black American artists. So being an artist included in that presentation, I'd be curious about your reflections on the experience of the show.
Oh my God, Chris, when I walked around the space, I felt this intense sense of love. I mean, the exhibition was curated with such respect, consideration, care, you know, deep thinking. And there were some moments that were so profound to me in terms of the ways in which black representation was placed and arranged in that exhibition. It was in conversation with other histories, not separate from it, but part and parcel of it. And it felt authentic. And I think that's a big issue, I think, with many institutions, many museums, is trying to do that critical, radical work that you are trying to do, but to do it with authenticity and a real sense of purpose, a real sense that you want something to come out of it, that it has a transformative, radical, transformative quality to it.
Clifford, it's been a great pleasure. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. I hope I get to meet you in September in Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Fantastic, Chris.
You can see Clifford Owen's One for Ben Patterson at the BMA through January 5th, 2020. Thank you for listening today. Art Matters is produced for WYPR by the Baltimore Museum of Art. And for the Baltimore Museum of Art, I'm Chris Bedford.